Hello, this is Sex on Call, the podcast.
Hi, we're Maddie and Larissa, both friends and working nurse practitioners in women's health. We both are passionate about sexual health, specifically for females.
I'm Maddie, a women's health nurse practitioner and certified menopause provider specializing in non-pregnancy-related women's health.
I'm Larissa, a practicing certified nurse midwife. I specialize in pregnancy and postpartum.
We want to focus on bringing evidence-based information and breaking it down in a casual, out-of-office setting so that you can have practical tools to improve your sex life.
So on today's episode, we're talking about the clitoris.
The clitoris. I'm so excited.
Yay. This is like the central female organ for pleasure.
Yay.
It's like literally what it's made for. It's primarily clitoris. All it's made for, which is cool.
I love it.
So I'm kind of debating. Okay, so I was going to comment. This is so funny. So in my old job, I stayed at a hospital overnight. And so patients would call me in the middle of the night with questions. And typically they were emergencies, right? Mm-hmm. And they were OB related. People are like, I'm contracting.
Or it's 2 a.m.
Yeah. And I'm like, hi, this is Larissa, the midwife. Like, what do you need? Which I'm happy to do. It was my job. Mm-hmm. So one night, she was young. Like when we were chatting, I was like, oh, okay. She's like, I had a baby a year ago and I'm bleeding. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to need more information. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And basically she had a baby, had a vaginal delivery, and she could not figure out how to explain to me where she was bleeding from. And I was so confused. I'm like, sorry, is it coming from your vagina? You know, she's like, well, no, when I wear a tampon, the bleeding isn't coming from the top portion of the tampon. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the bottom. Mm-hmm. I'm near the string. And she's like, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, so it's external. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's external. I'm like, okay, so is it on the labia? Or uh-huh. is it and she's like, no. No, what can you? She's I don't really know. I don't understand what's down Aww. There. Can we walk through it? Aww. And I'm this patient, yeah. She's had a baby.
Uh-huh.
And yep. She doesn't know. She doesn't know her anatomy. Yeah. And this isn't to fault her. This is super common.
Right. Education system, healthcare system.
Yes. We have patients that have had sex and they don't know what's down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have pregnant patients who have delivered, had a baby, and we're talking about their tear that they might have had after birth. And I'm like, okay, so if we're looking at the vagina, and I'll be like, have you looked? And they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I don't look down there. I'm like,
that's down there, right? That's right? All it is. It's down there.
Yes.
I'm not going to look.
Yes.
Not going to think about it.
This is this is not to their fault. Mm-hmm. This is just what's been taught. So the fact that we can have a baby and we can have sex and we don't know our own anatomy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I want people to feel empowered to know it.
Yes.
Know what's down there.
Yes.
Know how to use it to your benefit.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Know where the bleeding is coming from.
Right.
anyway, so not, again, it's not to shame that girl, but it's just to talk about this is super common that people don't get it.
We can go all throughout our lives and not know.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes. Because we don't look with mirrors down there. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. some people don't touch, stuff like that. So I am going to try to, at the beginning of this episode, we say this for most episodes, but if you got kids around, in case you didn't already tell by the beginning of this conversation, put headphones in.
Yes.
Go on a walk. Don't listen to it out loud.
Don't blare it.
No. We're going to talk about things that you might not want your kids to hear. Or maybe your parents. I don't know. I don't know who's going to, or your grandma. I don't know. So the clitoris, right? Let's talk about where it's at, what yes. it's like, where it's located in regards to our vagina and stuff like that. So the only, the part of the clitoris that people are most familiar with is the external part, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So they'll describe the hood, right? Which mm-hmm. is kind of what leads into our labia majora, labia mm-hmm. minora. And that's kind of what it's like the cloak over the clitoris. And some people kind of understand that, but that's where that external portion of the clitoris is. When people talk about like using a vibrator or clitoral stimulation, like that's where they're targeting. And they're not wrong. Like that is
the external glands.
Yes, exactly. That's where most, you can feel it on the outside and it's under that hood. But in general, the clitoris is actually like 9 to 11 centimeters.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's big.
Yeah.
It's large, but we don't see like a pea size of it.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Little peak.
Exactly. So
she's shy.
She's very shy. She's very shy. She's got a whole lot of nerves and feelings, but she's shy.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm going to, obviously, this would be much easier to do if I could like show you a picture, but I'm going to try to, you know, describe it with my words as much as I can. So you have that external glands that's under the hood, and then it kind of like loops like back kind of in this arch, and that's where we hit the clitoral body. So if you imagine like a flower and the petal of it, or like whatever, the head of the stem of it, what is it called? I don't even know. The front part of it is like bending forward. It's the stem that's kind of like falling back towards the roots. That's kind of like the clitoris body, right? Okay. So you have the clitoris body, and then it is, that's kind of tucked behind that main portion of the external glands. And then it basically, it's kind of like an upside down V, if you want to look at it that way.
I think that's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
And it, those are like the, I always say this word wrong, the crura of the clitoris. Mm-hmm. So you have these two, because now you have the glands, the body that arches down, and now everything is kind of mirrored, right? So you have a left side and a right side of the clitoris, and you have that V shape, and in between the V are these bulbs. So they're called the vestibular bulbs. And all of this is sitting like right behind the urethra and a little bit above it, because if you're looking externally on a woman's body, you have, right, you have the hood with the glands, then you might see the urethra, and then you see the vagina, and all of that is covered by labia majora and labia minora. Now if you open it up, right above the urethral opening where we pee out of, you kind of start to see, like, you don't actually see, but right behind that is that clitoral body, right? Is that clitoral, those little V arms that go off, and then you have the bulbs that sit behind there. And most of this is either on the upper portion of the vagina or to the sides. Like, it may extend back a little bit into that vaginal opening, but a lot of it is sitting near the front part of the vaginal opening. So kind of a hard descriptor, but basically, it's large. It starts at your clit, and it basically goes all the way down to your vagina.
Wraps around the vagina.
Yeah. Yeah. And it touches the urethra too. So, you know, kind of interesting thing how large it is.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it before, it's like, I got a clitoral model and I brought it into my office and I show my patients and I bring it around the office. And it was funny because when I first got it, I walked around and I would just say, what is this? And a lot of people, you know, they give you that look.
Yeah.
And some people guessed it, but other people are like, I don't know what that is. It's like, if you see it, you're like, that's a clitoris. It's like, that's all the clitoris. So yeah, it is a significant structure when you see it.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
So all that to say, you know, we got a lot going on there. It's just under the hood and you can't
She's
open.
There.
Like, she is.
She's there.
And she, yeah, she's a good size. So I feel like we've kind of gone through that. But now I want to talk about like what happens to the clitoris during like intercourse, sexual arousal, potentially when you're orgasming, like what's happening to the structure. So when we're aroused, that like clitoris is engorged with blood, right? So it just like all the blood vessels dilate, it gets this rush of blood to it, and it typically increases in size. So like it is similar to a penis in that way. And I know I was taught this in science class, so I feel like a lot of people know this, that like when we're forming in the womb, the same tissue that makes the penis makes
the clitoris,
right?
That's so cool.
So like it does make sense that it gets bigger with sexual arousal, that blood rushes to it, because that is very similar to the sexual arousal of the male counterpart.
And we use the same term, erect. The clitoris can become
Yes.
More erect at yes. the glands, right?
Exactly. Okay. That external portion of it. this is like one of, this is literally the only organ in the human body that is solely for pleasure.
And we get it.
We get it.
Women get it. So that's yes. awesome.
Yes. And even like, I do think that they're probably going to end up doing more research on this in the future, because they are seeing that there potentially is a link with like helping with fertility. Okay. But it's kind of all over the place. So the idea is that like, because the clitoris may, like when we're aroused and if the clitoris gets all that extra blood supply, the idea is that may help with the ability to conceive, because all the blood is concentrated to that area.
Okay.
Just making you like the likelihood of conception.
And I wonder too, if obviously you're responsive, the clitoris is swelling and we do achieve orgasm, there's that mechanism that they call, it's actually upsuck, which is like, yeah, I don't know, the term just makes me crackle.
Kind of a gross word, but like it upsuck. Does.
But it's where like the pelvic floor contracts and yes. it's pulling the sperm up
right.
through the reproductive tract to increase the chances of fertility. So maybe exactly. like all linked together in that.
I know. I will be interested to see if they come out with more studies kind of explaining yeah. that. I mean, again, I don't really want the clitoris of the female orgasm to become focused on fertility. Like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
hope that's not where I like we're it's a headed.
Pleasure organ.
Yes, I do yeah. too. But I could see it like just adding benefits to it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
which I think is fair. Speaking of just the sensitivity of the clitoris. Okay. This is, again, I love doing this research because, you know, we teach women in the office all the time, like this is your clitoris and this is like things you could consider that might help you achieve orgasm or, you know, mm-hmm. self-explore. But when you do research like this, there are things you don't know, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of the studies and like a lot of published material always put this quote, like there are 8,000 nerve endings on the edge of a clitoris, right? Right. Which is a crap ton. Mm-hmm. It is a crap ton. But come to find out that all of these studies were based on the clitorises of a cow.
A cow. See, like I would never have guessed. If you told me even to guess an animal, I don't know if I ever would have guessed a cow.
Also, like, why?
I don't.
Like, why a cow?
I can't follow it. I don't know.
And it's just kind of embarrassing. Like, this
is. I mean, it is.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. And then basically within the last 2 years that we first have finally studied, what? Right? The clitoris of a human.
Of an actual woman.
Wow. Fascinating, right?
Thanks, science.
Thanks for caring. Until
2020.
Finally, we're going to figure this out. But we, now that we know, it's 10,000.
10,000. Who knows? It? Maybe even it's more.
I know. And okay, so like just a fun fact, because I just thought it was fascinating as I like learned this stuff, right? So one of the studies were like looking at, it appears like cadavers of some sort when they were looking at them. And then another study, which like kind of piggybacked off of this, was a urologist okay. who specializes in plastic surgery. He is one of the, like a surgeon who helps with like female to male transgender okay. surgeries. Mm-hmm. And so he had asked his participants in the surgeries if he could use their tissue samples
wow,
of
cool.
their clitoris, okay. like as they were doing this. And that's where they got this. Again, this like contributed to that 10,000 number.
Okay.
So just to know like where it's coming from, because I was like, how did they get these off?
Right. Yeah, that is a good question.
Like, how did we come about this? So, right. I mean, either we've looked at cadavers or, again, like I said, we looked at tissue samples of people who are participating in surgery. So go Dr. Blair
go
Peters.
Dr. Peters.
I feel like, you know, we've covered the clitoris. Mm-hmm. We've covered the anatomy of it. We've covered the nerve endings. So now it gets into this age-old question of, like, how and what is the G-spot? And how does this, and does this correlate with the clitoris?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stepping outside of like research and studies, like in the classic conversations, right? People mm-hmm. are like a G-spot. People typically allude to this part in the vagina that uh-huh. typically you speak to when you're having, I guess, mainly penis in vagina sex, right?
Yeah, I would say.
Some people will talk about it like if they use internal vibrators, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I guess. But it's like this spot inside the vagina that just has a similar reaction, like that causes people to orgasm.
Yes.
Or is very, very sensitive.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And so what people, like what studies have looked at is like, what is the G-spot? Why do some people have it? Why do some people not? Like, where does mm-hmm. it come from? Is there something special inside the vagina that's going on mm-hmm. to give people this, you know, reaction? Mm-hmm. So there was quite a series of studies, and they actually used like MRI, which is cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they, to basically see where this location was and how it's related to all of the other organs and things and the happenings of the vagina. And they found that they actually think it's, they use the word contiguous, but basically like it matches up with the inner legs or the roots of the clitoris. So they think that it kind of intersects with like the clitoral bulbs, and then as well as that, like the V shape, the upside down V shape that I commented on. And so they think that as we discuss like where it sits, that because it sits on that upper portion of the vagina, that that's typically where people describe the G-spot is, on the anterior portion of the vagina, that it's actually most likely a response to our clitoris yet again being stimulated.
That's awesome. I would say anterior, if people don't know what that means, like towards the top, towards like the belly button, not yes. towards the bottom.
Yes. Away from the booty up to the stomach.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yes. So, I mean, then the question begs, like, is it always clitoral stimulation?
Right. Right.
Is that what's actually always being causing us to have sexual pleasure? Is
right.
the clitoris always being stimulated, but it's just not always the clitoris that you can see?
So it's either, it's not clitoral vaginal. It's more like external clitoris versus internal
yes.
clitoris.
Yes. Yeah. And I would say that's, I think that's probably where the research is going to take us eventually.
That's where, yeah. That's what makes sense to me.
So I, yeah. And I just think it's so, so fascinating. So that's what they said. Like other researchers, there's multiple studies on this. So it's not just one that's stating this, but they're like, oh, the G-spot isn't like a physical entity. It's not this special bundle of nerves that's sitting
inside.
It's
not a button.
No, that they think it's related to the bulbs, those like extra bulbs that hang with the clitoris that are a part of that and that just mm-hmm. touch that interior vaginal wall. So very, very interesting. So I would be interested to see like potentially then. And again, this is like things that I think we could go off in a tangent about, but like, do then certain positions with like a partner or like a vibrator, are those going to be more likely then to cause clitoral stimulation and then help a female achieve orgasm from from vaginal penetration mm-hmm. more?
Yeah, I think 100%. And I think it is just so complex and beautiful, because even I think if you're having partner intercourse, even the anatomy of your partner, right? The length, the shape, the bend, the girth of their anatomy may yeah. also be something we need to consider. Like, how are we going to have them, continue to hit that upper portion of the vagina, right?
Yes.
So different positions based on our anatomy, their anatomy, you know, there's so yes. many things we could kind of like play with how to improve pleasure. But I think those are all, yeah, great things to consider.
Yeah. And then another study even commented on like the movement of the clitoris with penetration.
That's awesome.
Right?
Is that the sonogram?
Yeah. So
that's
they,
so cool.
Like you can literally do an ultrasound to see those like legs of the clitoris and the bulbs. I mean, the bulbs are probably harder to see, but yeah. I definitely saw multiple sonos with like the legs. And so like, if you imagine with penetration, like your vagina's moving to a degree, like it's a mm-hmm. muscle, right? So mm-hmm. it's going to move. And then the clitoris is responding too.
Yeah.
So depending on like the thrust and the position of the
yes.
thrust and things
yes.
like that, like, are we hitting that quote unquote G spot? And then is the clitoris moving in a way that's maybe causing that G spot to be more stimulated?
Right. Right.
So yeah,
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see my clitoris on an ultrasound. I'm so curious what this looks like.
Yes. That's amazing. They literally were like, when we did a 3D sonography of the clitoris, it does engorge and it does get larger and it does like surround more of that interior vaginal wall.
Like you said earlier, just like the penis.
Right. Like it is gross. Made to try to, it's trying to help us achieve orgasm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just, yeah. Okay. And then this, I kind of went down a rabbit hole, but I feel like if people know me or if they see me in the office, I find the menstrual cycle to be fascinating because we, like every month we go through like, I feel like three or four different versions of ourselves because our hormones change, right? Yeah. And so when I was like looking up things about the clitoris, because I knew I wanted to cover like the anatomy and things like that and the G-spot and stuff like that. But there was a whole study on like what happens to our clitoris during our menstrual cycle.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. So there are already like studies and things that break down that like during your cycle, your hormones shift. And so there are different parts of your cycle that you innately feel like more attractive or more confident and stuff like that. So I thought it might be helpful before, and I think we'll, I'm sure in the future we'll do like a whole episode on the menstrual cycle because it's just important. But to break down like where, like what different parts of the cycle are, where they look like, that kind of stuff. So I don't know if everyone knows this because we're not really taught this until you go see your gynecologist, unless you had a fabulous mom or grandma or health teacher. But day one of your cycle, right? If we're counting like out your cycle, day one is the first day of your period. And I'm speaking to a person with a monthly normal 28 day cycle. Okay. Cause I can't speak to all cycles, but this is a normal monthly 28 day one. So day one is your first day of your period. And this study in particular that I'm going to talk about focused on day three, which is where your cycle is typically like the heaviest, right? Where your period, it's flowing, it's heavy. And this, again, I said it's for a person with a 28 day cycle and they're not on hormones. We're not controlling their hormones. They're on no birth control. They're not on anything like that. Okay. So day three, we have a heavy flow. Our period's going. Day 10 is where we kind of starting to get to this like pre-ovulation. Like our body is gearing up to release an egg so that we can either get pregnant or not get pregnant. The typical day of ovulation is day 14. So that's why this study kind of hit on day 10, because these are the days leading up to ovulation. In most studies, they'll comment that it is the ovulation. That is when we typically will feel like sexy and we'll feel like, I mean, it's almost like, you know, the reproductive
I'm
hormones.
Hungry.
Yes. They're like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit horny. And it's like, because your body wants you to make a baby. Yeah. Like, that's sort of what happens.
Giving a little push.
Exactly. So ovulation day 14. And then as our body is either preparing after that day of ovulation, it's either going, am I going to keep this egg and have I made a baby in a pregnancy, or am I going to shed, like get ready to shed all the lining, right? And then the whole process is going to start back over. So this study focuses on day 20, which is when we're gearing up to either keep said pregnancy or have a period. And then day 27 is typically where we're going one way or the other, right? We're prepping to start day one again and have that period, or we're keeping it. Okay. So all that being said, to talk you through the cycle, they used hormone levels. So they did blood draws on these individuals in the study. And then they also did transvaginal ultrasounds.
Okay.
So a little bit of both. So during the peri-ovulatory phase, which is before you ovulate, women are most fertile, they saw the most significant modifications during this time. So this is where they saw that the size of the clitoris like drastically changed and got much, much larger. And it remained that way until about day 20.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, sweet, your period came. Now we're on day 10 or so getting ready to ovulate. And this clitoris is starting to grow.
Yeah. It's like, I want some attention and action, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine, you know, so on day 20, they saw that it was bigger. So then The clitoral body then decreased inside when heading into the premenstrual phase, which they saw around day 27, which is the days leading up to our period, right? Mm-hmm. So they said, they even said that during this time where the clitoris got bigger, that the arteries had decreased resistance. So it allowed greater blood flow during this time. And then again, they had this smaller clitoris, and the clitoris stayed small from that day 27 up until about day 10 again. Wow. So like it starts back over. It stays small because it's not prepping for anything. So it's like our clitoris even aligns with the hormones of our body.
I did not know the clitoris responded to any of that.
Me neither. That's I was so like, great. Okay, this is so cool.
Yeah.
So like there is a reason that A, you might feel more in the mood or more sexual, or it might even be why you can more easily reach orgasm during this time.
Yeah, that's I didn't even think about this component of it.
I know. So wow.
I think that's cool.
I thought that was fascinating. But did you, okay, so just, I mean, we've talked through a whole ton of science.
Yes.
Like when did you know that you had a clitoris? Like did you, like were you talked through it? Like do you even remember that conversation or when you realized that?
I don't think anyone ever specifically told me about my clitoris that I remember. I think I was probably like an earlier self-touch person. So I think I figured out that it was pleasurable early on.
But like it didn't have a name.
No, it was just like a nothing in my mind. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't connecting to anything. I just knew that felt
this spot is a good spot.
Yeah. That was it. So I don't think,
Fascinating.
How about you?
Yeah, for sure not. For sure not. I don't even know. I would almost be embarrassed to say that it may not have been until I was in grad school.
Really? Grad school?
I don't even, because I can't, and maybe it doesn't stick out to my, in my brain. Yeah, because I am very like, I got self-pleasure was not something I really did until, God, how old was I? So bad. Aww. But I mean, like, I hope people like can relate to that.
Yeah.
But I was probably like, it was after I was married.
Okay.
I was probably, 24, 23.
Before you touched your clitoris?
Yeah. And I like even touching of my hand is still something like, anyway, like I probably didn't even realize like that's what it is. That's what, you know what I mean? I mean, I definitely knew about it. By the time I had gotten into grad school and we were reviewing the anatomy, like I very much knew all of those things because it's part of our class and our courses.
Right.
But like definitely for myself, it was never a conversation.
Yeah.
With anyone.
Which is crazy. Which is what we hope to hopefully change is.
Right. I was married having sex and didn't know.
About your one and only pleasure organ.
Right.
Yeah.
Like how is my partner supposed to know?
Yeah, exactly.
When I don't even know.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point.
So anyway, I just like these are things that like I hope that I figure out like how I teach my daughters about it.
Yeah.
Like those
kind of
things.
You have a whole new.
Like, oh, yeah. Like my kids will know. I mean, I don't really think they need to know what the clitoris is yet. But I like do think that like we'll talk in more vague terms about it. Mm-hmm. And then like when we hit puberty, we're probably going to pull up a anatomy picture.
Yeah.
And I probably will encourage them to like go in front of the mirror because I don't want them to feel ashamed to look at it.
Right.
Like I want them to be a very normal thing for them. Like this is my labia majora.
Yes.
This is my labia minora. Like, and it doesn't need to be something that they have to do in front of me. Like that's, I want it to be private.
Right.
I think that's the whole point of it.
Right.
But that like we do, I mean, I have like a gummy vagina model because I practice sewing on it after to practice for deliveries when women would tear. So like my hope is that I can like talk through my kids and then I'll give my son a talk.
Good.
I mean, I think he should know if he plans to be in a, especially a heterosexual relationship. Like, I mean, I'm not like encouraging intercourse at age 12.
Right.
But like if I know that he is dating or like interested in females, then like we probably should talk about like what the anatomy is because you shouldn't be touching places.
Yeah.
That they don't want to be touched.
Right.
And if you're going to touch, you should do it right.
Right, right. I think that's such a healthy conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Have. Because I would have rather heard that from somebody I trusted.
Yeah.
Right. Or knew versus like like having to Google things.
Right.
Speak of the sweet little angel. There's one home from school. So I think we'll wrap up the episode because, you know, cute. My little ears don't need to hear this either. So as we always say, this content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Go see your healthcare provider. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider. We love nurse practitioners because we are them. And with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. We're not your nurse practitioners, but we could be, but not on this podcast. So have a good day.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.